The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 14, Texts Number 27 and 28, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on March 31st, 2016, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Atta Desham Travyakshyami Dharma Adi Shreya Avahan Sa Vai Punyatama Desha Satpatram Yatra Labate Bimbham Bhagavata Yatra Sarvam etat chada acharam yatra ha banamana kulam tapa vidya daya anvitam attadesham prayakshyami dharmadi shreya avahan Savai punyatama desha Satpatram yatalabhyate Bimbam bhagavato yatra Savam me characharam Yatra ha brahmana kulam Tapo vidya dayanvitam Atta,
thereafter,
Deshan, places, Pravakshyami, I shall describe, Dharma Adi, religious performances, etc., Shreya, auspiciousness, Avaham, which can bring, Sa, that, vai, indeed, punyatama, the most sacred, desha, place, satpatram, a Vaishnavya, yatra, wherein, lamyate, is available, bimbam, the deity in the temple, Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the support, yatra, where, sarvam etat, of this entire cosmic manifestation, chada acharam, with all the moving and non-moving living entities, Yatra, wherein, ha, indeed, Brahmana Kulam, association with Brahmanas, tapa, austerities, vidya, education, daya, mercy, anvitam, endowed with. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni continued, Now I shall describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. In a place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation, with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is a most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned Brahmins observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred. Reported by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that a Vaishnava temple where the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is worshipped, and where Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord, is the best sacred place for performance of any religious ceremonies. The present day, especially in the big cities, people live in small apartments and are not able to establish a deity temple. Under the circumstances, therefore, the centers and temples being established by the expanding Krishna consciousness movement are the best sacred places for performing religious ceremonies. Although people in general are no longer interested in religious ceremonies or deity worship, the Krishna consciousness movement gives everyone the chance to advance in spiritual life by becoming Krishna conscious. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jita Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, well, this material world is a vast desert. It's a very, very vast desert. But within this desert of material existence, there are oases, plural form of oasis. There are many such places. They are called ISKCON centers. So, if one is fortunate enough to have contact with the center of ISKCON, you're saved from dying of thirst in the material world, you see. If you're in the desert, it's a hopeless situation. There's no water. Your canteen went dry. There's no water available. There's no bottled water for sale at the nearest grocery store, you see. There's no rainwater you can collect. But if somehow you can find the oasis, then you're safe, you see. So, by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astatarasatashi Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. In this vast desert of material existence, there's so many oases available. So what do? When you go to an oasis, you drink the water. It's a big trek across the desert. You get as much water as you possibly can. You fill up your water bottles, your canteen. Because you have to go back out and you're traversing the desert. So when you come to the ISKCON center, you should fill up your heart with Krishna consciousness. Because many devotees have to go to a job or go here, go there. So when you come here, you got to drink deep this nectar as much as you can, as deeply as you can. You have to absorb it deep into your psyche. Because in this material world, as soon as you walk out on the street, you're bombarded by the material energy, you see. Everywhere there's illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. It's a whole world based on illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. So if you don't take full advantage of the ISKCON center, as soon as you go out there, you're going to fall down. That's a fact. If you don't take proper advantage of the ISKCON Center, you will fall down as soon as you go out there. So don't be a fool. Don't be a rascal. Take proper advantage of what Prabhupada is giving. Otherwise, you're finished. But if you do take advantage of it, wow, what an amazing future is awaiting you. You're actually going to awake your svarup, your original spiritual identity. You know you're an inhabitant of the spiritual world. You're one of Krishna's associates in the spiritual sky. Do you know that? You're not of this material world. You're one of the associates of God himself, an intimate associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his eternal pastimes. That's who you actually are. Is it? So stop trying to be something that you're not. Start being who you are, the servant of Krishna. Jivara Sarupahai Krishnara Nityadas, the constitutional position of a living entity, is he is the eternal servant of Krishna. That's not something artificial imposed on us by the spiritual master. If there's some religious cult and they brainwash you into thinking you're the servant of God, that's absolutely false conception that the atheists want you to believe ISKCON is all about. It's a brainwash cult. They are the brainwash cult. They brainwash you into thinking that your body, that I am the body, you see. It begins even within the womb. They do some test and they say, oh, it's a boy, it's a girl there in the womb. And you're hearing that, it's a boy, it's a girl. You might not know the language yet, but the vibration is affecting you. You come out of the womb, they say, oh, look, it's a boy, it's a girl. You grow up, they say, be a good little boy, be a good little girl. You are being brainwashed into thinking that you're that body. At every step, wherever you go. You go to school where they have the boys' bathroom and the girls' bathroom. You have to go in the right one because you're a boy or a girl, isn't it? So we do make these distinctions in Krishna consciousness. Also here we have the boys, so here and the girls over here. We make the distinctions, but not that I am a boy or I am a groom. I am an eternal spiritual being, and I happen to have the body right now of a male or a female, you see. It's not me. I act in accordance, according to Varnasham Dharma, of this particular body, but it's not that it's me. No. There's no difference between any of us. We're all eternal spiritual souls. But according to our bodies, we act in different ways. You see, someone becomes a father, someone becomes a mother, you see. You can't reverse it. It's not that the woman can impregnate, the wife can impregnate the husband. It doesn't work that way by the laws of nature, you see. So we do act in terms of the material body, but not that it's me. Not that it's me. It's just the covering of the self. So we have to get down to the real root of what existence actually is, you see, what it actually means to exist. What is the true meaning of our existence? To be the servant of Krishna. That's why we exist, because Krishna wants to have some reciprocation. Krishna is called Atma Ram, the one who enjoys himself. He doesn't require anything to enjoy. He can simply be all alone if he wants to be. But since he's all powerful, he can do whatever he likes, and he prefers to manifest an unlimited number of living entities from himself to enjoy an unlimited number of loving relationships. Why so many? Well, variety is the spice. I say we're having a big festival today, having a big feast, and you sit down to take the feast. They serve you a bowl of rice, and you go, where's the feast? There it is. 500 grains of rice. There's your feast. He said, I thought it was a feast. I heard there was a feast at the temple today. You only served me a bowl of rice? You see, feast means many varieties. You see, that is feast. It's like that's how Prabhupada attracted us at 26 Second Avenue, you see. That feast was amazing. Prabhupada actually was talking about it. I heard the recording the other day. He was remembering how 200 people would come every Sunday, that feast. Prabhupada would cook himself. 200 people would come. He was advising the devotees in Hyderabad, you cook so nicely. Actually, he was very angry. They had cooked such lousy prasadam. He said, the dogs wouldn't even eat that. He was chastising the devotees like anything. That prasadam you made was so bad, even the dogs would reject it. That's what he told the devotees. Even the dogs would reject it. He said, you should cook in such a way, just for the tongue they will come. That's what he told the devotees. Just for the tongue they should come. And then he remembered how he was cooking at 26 Second Avenue. and there was Bhumnoi Trayadish, he would eat 22 chapatis. Prabhupada was cooking. Later on, he had Kirtan Nandastra cooking. But he would give him 4 at a time. And he would want more. Prabhupada said, he was a very nice boy. 22 chapatis he would do. So the point is, variety, you see, the spice. The more you have preparations, the more ecstatic the feast becomes. More varieties of taste, you see. Each prep has its own particular taste. So every single jiva, you may say, well, there's only 5 rasas, but you don't understand there's unlimited varieties of sub-rasas within those 5 rasas because you mix in the 7 secondary rasas. In all kinds of permutations and combinations, you come up with an unlimited number of rasas, of the unlimited number of living entities. Every single living entity has his own unique relationship with Krishna that satisfies him in a certain way. It is like a preparation at a feast. For Krishna, the whole thing is a big love feast, you see. He gets to relish all these relationships with all these different devotees, and every devotee is unique. There's no clones here. Everybody is unique. You are unique, Prabhu. You are unique, Mataji. You see? You have a certain identity which can satisfy Krishna in a certain way that nobody else can. So you are needed. You are wanted. You are special. Every one of you is special. You see? You see? So why cheat yourself trying to be, you know, dancing with the material nature? Why cheat yourself? It doesn't make any sense. Come back to your original position, Jivara Samupai, Krishna Aranichadas. Don't cheat yourself in this material world, serving those senses. Indriya Seva is the pathway to death. Take the pathway to life, not the pathway to death. That is intelligence. So let's see, we have a few more minutes here. So it's very auspicious. I feel very fortunate, and my wife and I both are very fortunate that we've been welcomed into this oasis here in the desert of material existence, so we can give some water of Krishna consciousness, quench our thirst. So, because it's interesting, the thirst and water, you see, they have a certain relationship. If you have a thirst for water, that means water exists. You can logically understand, you see. If you have a thirst for water, and water exists. In other words, you couldn't have a thirst for water if water didn't exist. You have a thirst for water because it exists. So similarly, we have a thirst for eternity. If I take a gun right now and put it in your head, you'll say, Prabhu, please don't shoot. I want to live. Why? We have a desire for eternity. We don't want to die. That proves that there is eternity, you see. If there was no, the atheists say there's no eternity. When you're dead, that's it, finished. Then why do they try to avoid death? You This is not logical. You do not want to die because you're eternal. You understand? You do not want to die because you're eternal. So we should not fall for this atheistic philosophy, which is completely dogmatic. See, we are scientists here. We are not dogmatists. We reject dogmas for the dogs. You see, we want science here. You see, science is what you can actually experience. We learn that we're eternal spiritual beings, and we're given the techniques by which you actually experience your eternal identity as a spiritual being. Not some blind faith. You're given a technique that you can actually experience your eternal spiritual identity. It becomes fully awakened and manifested. You live in it. You taste it. You feel it. You live it. You breathe it. It all comes manifested by this process. You just got to follow the recipe, that's all. Now, if you try to concoct your own recipe, forget it. You see. Well, I'm going to make some nice bread rolls for Krishna, but I'm not going to follow the recipe. You just get some goo in the bottom of the pan. You see. You follow the recipe. You see, the Acharya Marg, the path of the Acharyas, they know the pathway. They know how you can get out of Maya. So you have to follow them. You can't invent your own process. So many bogus gurus now inventing their own so-called processes of awakening the self, you see. Completely ridiculous. People imagine that they're spiritually enlightened, you see, by following these bogus gurus. It's completely rubbish. Complete, total rubbish. I tried it. I went to one of these gurus, you know. My friend said, you should come. You want in spiritual enlightenment? You come with me. Come to Maharishi Mahashogi, you see. You pay your fee, you get your mantra, you become enlightened, you know. So I tried it. It didn't work. They gave me one mantra. Aing, aing. It's actually there in our Vedic mantras. Aing Gurave Nama. Same thing, aing. They said, you just chant this, aing, 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 20 minutes twice a day silently. And nothing happened. I'm going, aing, 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 aing. It's like the airplane on the runway, you know, trying to take off, you know, aing, 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 but no liftoff. Just stuck on the ground. I can't ever get a lift off, you see. But then one friend introduced me to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Talk about liftoff. I was going to faraway places. It's like a magic carpet ride in higher dimensions just by chanting Hare Krishna, you see. I could feel the difference. The difference between Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi and Krishna consciousness. I could experience it immediately, you see. Now I'm really going somewhere, you see. So the bona fide spiritual master, he actually gives you a process. He gives you a system. He gives you the potency. He gives you the energy. He gives you the knowledge. He gives you the ability to actually enter into a transcendental state of consciousness beyond all the sufferings of material existence. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. In Krishna consciousness, you actually get liberated from all your miseries. And if you're still miserable, you're not Krishna conscious. You're forgetting Krishna. If you're miserable, you're forgetting Krishna. It's a simple thing. You're just forgetting him. So don't stop forgetting Krishna. Always remember Krishna at every minute. You'll be tasting the sweetest happiness, unlimited nectar at every minute. So perhaps there's some questions from our internet audience today from around the world. Looks like we have about 25 people here from the internet and about maybe 15 here. So if y'all have any questions, I'll try to answer them. Yeah. Personally?
We have a special...
Yes, everyone has their own special relationship with Krishna.
When we are in this material world, so
When we're in the material world, how Krishna...
How is Krishna getting the service that we are performing when we are in the material world?
How is he receiving it?
Yeah, because...
Depends on how you offer him.
No, I mean another point. Like Brahma created also, like Krishna created also his cowherd boys and cows when they were stolen, so...
I can't make it and tell me.
No, Krishna created his cowherd boys.
Krishna created...
His cowherd boys and calves when Brahma was stolen. When Brahma stole...
Krishna
is replacing cows.
Yeah.
Does Krishna replace us when we are...
Oh, okay. Krishna did not... The cowherd boy is this term of God created the living beings is misleading. We're eternal emanations of Krishna. It's because natvevahang jatyanasang namate natvang nimijanadipa. The living entities exist eternally because Krishna is manifesting them eternally. Krishna is eternally creating us by his desire that we exist. So, created is a misleading word. I prefer the word manifesting. But created sounds like we didn't exist and Krishna brought us into existence. We're eternally manifested. Those cowherd boys are eternally manifested. So, when they were stolen by Lord Rama and put into the cave... Krishna did not recreate them. He simply made clones of them from himself, like an actor in the stage acting as if he's you. It's like if you were sick and you were sick in a hospital somewhere and your family was in total anxiety. So to avoid them, the anxiety, you hired some actor who looks like you, can talk like you, and he went home. So they thought it was you, and they didn't realize you were all sick and suffering. They thought you were healthy because they get some. So if Krishna simply manifests a duplicate of them, made a show. It's not that he created some new living entities. He's simply like an actor, simply like a cinema, a cinematographic technique to make it look like they're. So it's not that when we've gone from the spiritual world, Krishna is manifesting some other... He's not satisfied. He can't... The family members were satisfied. The mother cows were satisfied, thinking that their calf was still there. The cowherd boys, the gopis, were satisfied that their little gopas were still there. But Krishna can't fool himself. He's not going to fool himself into thinking that you're still there and manufacturing something that looks like you. He's not going to be satisfied with that. Krishna is not satisfied by that. Krishna is actually, especially in his form of Lord Chaitanya, is in great anxiety that you're now separated from your actual swarupa, your eternal identity in the spiritual world. He's in great anxiety about that. Krishna also, but that anxiety is most profoundly manifested in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, no, it's not that there's somebody there filling in for you, and it looks like you're still there now. Actually, you are there in one sense, that you're just knotted out, Krishna is passing you a glob jamun, and you can probably put it in your mouth, and then not out for a minute and then you come back again. Actually, I was just reading the other day how the this whole universe, which is 311 trillion 40 billion years in duration, is just like a brief flash of lightning, boom. So time is really relative. It seems when you're in the material world, it seems to be eternity, It is an eternity, caught up in karma chakra. But as soon as you awaken, come back to your position, it's as if you never left. You may say, well, how's that possible? I always give the example of crossing the international dateline. It always amazes me. We fly from Australia to Los Angeles, Melbourne to LA. We leave like at 11 o'clock in the morning. We depart from Melbourne on Monday, 11 o'clock in the morning. We arrive in L.A. at 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday, 2 hours before we, 2 hours before we even left from Melbourne. We're already in Los Angeles. If you wrote down, you know, every hour in your daily log, it'd be kind of crazy, you know. 9 o'clock, arrived in L.A., 11 o'clock, left for Melbourne. So if such an amazing thing can happen in the material world when you cross the international date line, just imagine what happens when you cross the Viradra River and go back to your original relationship with Krishna. You see, it is as if you never left. Maybe just blind it out for a second, you know. What happened? I had this weird dream, man. I had this. I was relishing Krishna's pastimes with the cowherd boys, and all of a sudden I just had this. I nodded out. I had this horrible dream. I was Lord Brahma, and then I was Indradev, and I kept going down, 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 down. I became Indragopa, and I was a rock star. I was a girl. I was a guy. I was a dog. I was a cat. I was this huge thing. It went on. It seemed to go on forever and ever and ever. I went through these 8,400,000 species, billions and billions of times, looping the loop, trying to be happy, and nothing ever worked. It's just nothing ever worked. And boom, somehow I met this spiritual master appeared, and boom, here I am. Whew, thank God it was only a dream, you know. It'll be like that when we wake up. Oh, wow, I was crazy. How could I think I was Brahma? How could I think I was Indradev? How could I, you know, think I was this and that? What happened to me? Whew, I can't thank God I'm back. You see, but it was just like a brief second. Krishna gives you a smiling glance. He looks over you like, yeah, I know what went through. Gives you a smiling glance. Yeah.
How can a practicing devotee know for certain how to situate himself in Varna Ashram?
How can a properly situate himself in Varna Ashram?
How can a practicing devotee?
What about he's the only one to be interested in doing that. The non-practicing devotee wouldn't be interested. Or the non-devotee would not be interested. Yeah, how to properly situate yourself in Varna Ashram? By following the order of the spiritual master. That automatically places you in your proper situation. Simple thing. Varnashram is actually like a safety net. When I was a kid, I went to the circus, and it was amazing. There was somebody up on the tightrope. You know, they came walking out. They put a chair down on the tightrope, and they sat down on the chair on the tightrope. But they had a net underneath, you see. So Varnashram's system is actually a safety net to protect us. It's like we have certain rules in brahmacharis, madhijis, you know. We have these rules that are there to protect us. It's described that in the Bhagavad Gita that if one is situated beyond the modes, they don't have to follow the principles of Varnashram. No? Just like Parasaram, he was a Brahmin back as a Kshatriya, you see. Are described also by Prabhupada about that what was his name? The one who Menaka? Vishramita Muni. He was a king who acted as a Brahmin. So Prabhupada describes how if one is situated beyond the modes, they don't have to follow Varnashram Dharma. They can go beyond the Varnashram principles. But for those of us who are not there yet, who are still struggling with the modes of nature, the Varnashram system protects us. Follow the rules of brahmachari. Follow the rules for grihastha. Follow the rules for a lady, you see. These things protect us from falling down in Krishna consciousness.